Welcome to the Friends Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. We've been busy over at Prospects Live, dropped two different top 100 lists. So hopefully you all check those out over there.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Go get our draft guide. Draft guide is doing really well.
Good.
So hopefully people continue to support that. You can get it on Amazon.com in ebook form, or you can get it on, or you can email me, JustinMasonFantasy@gmail.com, and I can get you a PDF if you can pay via PayPal or Venmo, I guess. I prefer PayPal, but that's going to wrap up the business end of stuff. Let's talk about the Yankees prospects.
Yeah.
Yankees got an interesting system, so take it away.
It's an interesting one. But for its way, like in a real life baseball standpoint, it might be in like the top 10 to 12. But for fantasy, it's in the bottom third. Because a lot of where their depth, it's crazy depth, and I can go on forever to talk about it. But a lot of it's teenage pitching, and you know how the how all that goes. It's not necessarily the best investment in the fantasy game, but. It's what we're at with this, and it's pitching heavy, but there's a lot of interesting arms still on the list. But as a matter of fact, we're going to start out with a bat. Esteban Florio. The best thing about Florio is the defense, which should be plus in center field. 283, 377, 422 with 6 homers and 16 stolen bases. 12.5% walk rate, 24.5% K rate. Primarily in the Florida State League. He played there in 2017 as well. He ended the season there, and he was sent there in 2018. He had a wrist injury, a hamate bone, that was fractured. He came back, hit for a little bit more power after he came back, so I don't know if that's going to be an issue going forward. But the thing going forward that is an issue is the swing and miss. He swings and misses a little bit too much for a guy of his ilk, but the power-speed combination is impressive. So that is good. In the last 28 games, he walked 18 times while only striking out 30 times. So that was an improvement for him. It was 781 OPS down the stretch. I went to the Arizona Fall League and didn't really show out. Kind of had some of the same issues come forward. We've had a lot of eyes on him over at Prospects Live. Jason Waddell has seen him probably more than anyone I've ever spoken to. And while the numbers don't really show much of a difference, there was significant improvement in his at-bats down the stretch for Tampa, the high-A club, and for the Yankees. And so he's got a little bit to deal with there. There's a strong, like, Monty Harrison kind of type vibe here where he could be, like, he could just completely fall off the map, but also that skill set with power and speed, if he gets that hit tool up to, like, say, below average, be like a 40 grade, that is still makes him a worthwhile player because of the rest of the skills around it. Davey Garcia is my favorite arm in this system, and he's sub 6 foot, and he's got a really small frame. Really small frame. As a matter of fact, if he was a little bit taller and a little bit heavier set build, he would be regarded as a top 25 prospect in the game because the stuff is ridiculous. 94 mile an hour, and by all indications, it's a high spin rate pitch. The curveball is one of the best in the minor leagues, and it's the best in the Yankee system for sure. It's Davey Garcia. The video on Prospects Live we have of him is just fascinating stuff. The fastball-curveball combination, yeah, it's only two pitches, but both of those pitches are good enough that he can be in a rotation just off those alone. The changeup does need to improve. Jason Panini saw him at Instructs and gave him nine quadrant command, and I think that sums him up the best. I'll break the strike zone down into those nine squares. He can hit any of them. It's a very exciting arm, and it's hard not to get more excited about him. But the frame does set him back a little bit. And if that doesn't bother you, which doesn't bother me as much, I'm all in on Davey Garcia as much as I can be, and he's a guy. He's going to force his way into the Yankees rotation sooner rather than later. Jonathan Loaisiga is the next guy. Johnny Lasagna, I think people called him because they're lazy and couldn't pronounce his name. Johnny Loaisiga, he former Giant prospect, was released, kind of toiled around in the minors for a while, and Yankees scooped him up for nothing and have kind of turned him into a formidable arm. I think with Justice Sheffield departing the organization, it's going to be between Loaisiga and Jordan Montgomery probably for first call-up if the Yankees need a starter. Three-plus pitches potentially in his fastball, slider, and in changeup, but he can throw all three for strikes. A little bit durability issues again, but I think he's, you know, three better than average pitches. I would say the fastball and slider are borderline plus, and the changeup's above average. Be a nice mid-rotation guy. But in the Yankees organization, they got a lot of arms on the top end and especially down low, so it might be a little harder for him to break through. Luis Medina, he might have the most pure fantasy upside out of the rest of the guys below this because it's going to be a lot of arms now. While he's not close to MLB ready like Loaisiga and even Davey Garcia, he's got the highest upside because of the fastball. It's high-octane stuff here, 98-99 with sink and run, 12-6 curveballs, a go-to out pitch. Changeup is firm, and it needs improvement. If it can get to below average, he's got the goods to be a starter. If not, he's going to be a reliever. The command needs to tighten up, but he's 19, so you know that kind of thing happens. Like I said, upside here is ridiculously high, though, and it's a guy that you can get for cheap right now because next year at this time you won't be able to if those strides hit. Michael King climbed up from high A all the way to triple A this year. A little bit of deception, three-quarters delivery. Just throw strikes with this fastball, slider, and changeup. He uses a two-seamer and a four-seamer. He changes eye levels better than anybody. He has a sequencing part of pitching down. Pitches outside, inside. Spots it everywhere. Gets ground balls at a high tilt. Slider is looking to be the potential best pitch in the bag here. With two-plane movement. The changeup is kind of fringe. But, again, he's got the feel and the arm speed for it to make it look like an average pitch. It's just physically the pitch itself. It could be a simple grip adjustment, can get something a little bit, find another gear on the changeup. But I think he's got a chance in spring to. He's not the highest upside guy. He's more of a high floor guy. So I think during spring training, he's got a chance to compete for a spot on that staff somewhere. It's a loaded pitching staff, but I still think he has the chance to squeak on there. Josh Stowers will be the next notable bat. They got him for Shed Long and for Sonny Gray in that kind of two separate team deals that made it look like a three-team deal. Stowers was a second-round pick at the University of Louisville this year. He was on the team with Brendan McKay and stuff, which was 2 years ago. He hit ninth and kind of hit toward the bottom of the order and he played a good center field. And now he played a good corner outfield. Now he's a center field leadoff guy for them, and then the Mariners popped him in the second round. A little bit of everything. The throwing arm might push him to left field, but he's got a little power, a little speed. Modest upside, though, but it's a decent floor as well for a guy of that ilk. Two young guys I want to put together here, two bats, Antonio Cabello and Everson Perea. Cabello is the more athletic of the two guys here. He's 17 years old, still trying to use the lower half in the plate and really in the field as well. He's explosive, but he's trying to rein that in. Really good bat speed for Cabello. Special bat speed. 270, 280 hitter, 20-plus homers at peak is what he can project. Learning a new position, he was a catcher. Now he's a center fielder, so it gives you an idea of his athleticism and his baseball acumen. And I think he's going to be able to guide to make the adjustments. He's a really good guy to get in on the ground floor. Speed is the best tool right now, but I think at the end of the day, he's going to be a well-rounded player. No real plus kind of skill set, maybe like an Adam Eaton. No real plus skill, but does everything really, really well. And I think that's kind of what Cabello could be. Everson Perea, struggled a lot in the Appy League, so I think it drove down the overall stat line enough to where you can be able to grab him. But the defense is the best skill here. The floor is high. And a quick first step, excellent reads in center field, really good athlete, average hit and power tools, has some mechanical things that get in the way of the swing, but he's only 17. So pitch recognition also needs some work. He's a little bit behind Cabello, but they both have similar upside. Ronzi Contreras, small frame arm. Luis Gil, small frame arm. Both these guys have high octane stuff. Contreras is double plus fastball. It sits, can get up to 98. Luis Gil's up in the upper 90s, not quite consistently that high. They have so many arms here, man. Ociel Rodriguez was a Cuban kid they just picked up this year. 6'3", 210 at 16, which is an impressive size, obviously. Can touch 97, has a plus slider. Alex Vargas, switch hitter, 16-year-old shortstop. Could be a 30 stolen base guy down the line. Maybe best case, he could turn into what Jorge Mateo was a year and a half ago. So that's a significant upside play. Clark Schmidt, arm I mentioned. Luis Gil, I already mentioned. Garrett Whitlock, Albert Abreu, some really nice arms to track here. Schmidt was South Carolina's ace before he got hurt. Mid-rotation arm ceiling. Whitlock is a 6'8 guy that can throw in probably the number four starter. Really good fastball, curveball combo. Albert Abreu throws really hard. Probably a reliever, especially in this loaded system. Kevin Alcantara is an international signing from this year. Really good projections long-term. Really good swing path. Anthony Siegler and Josh Bro were two catchers they took in the first round. Siegler is a switch hitter and a switch thrower because he was on the mound a little bit in high school. Interesting to just factor in. I like that a lot about him because if he hones in on one skill, I think he has the ability to master it just because of how diverse and how well-rounded the rest of the skills are. And Ryder Green is a plus power prep bat. I think that can steal 15 bags and hit 25 homers at peak. Obviously, the hit tool might prohibit all that from manifesting. Could probably hit cap out about 260 or so. But he's a really good athlete. I'm going to touch on some of these more. I don't want to dig into these arms too far because a lot of them are – it's a guessing game, and trying to slot these arms in order is hard. Trevor Stepan, 6'5", 225, can touch 97. Like I said, with Luis Gil, young athletic guy, needs a third pitch. He's got a plus curve. Domingo Acevedo, another big tall guy. There's a little bit of sleeper bust for him going into this year, but I think he can pitch out of the bullpen, and I think that's ultimately the role. Domingo Herman has also got some good stuff. Not quite a prospect in the traditional sense, but I think in any other organization he's in the mix for a rotation spot, but here he's not. Chance Adams hasn't gotten his shot yet. They keep passing him over. Maybe he's a multi-inning reliever. Who knows with him at this point. The command needs to improve, but the fastball slider play up, which screams bullpen to me. Nick Nelson is another really good arm, 97-mile-an-hour fastball and a slider combo. Matt Sauer can touch 97. Glenn Otto can touch 97. Nolan Martinez, really good athletic prep kid out of Southern California, lacks a third pitch right now, but he throws his fastball and his curveball for strikes currently. Dermis Garcia might be a two-way prospect. Power-hitting third baseman who doesn't have much of a hit tool, strikes out too much, and also has a plus arm at the position, so he's going to think he's going to throw off a mound a little bit. Fricer Perez, fastball touches 99. Philip Deal is a really good reliever. Wilkerman and Garcia, Isaiah Gilliam. This Harold Cortillo. This system is stacked, and the Yankees, Danny Burrell, the pitching coordinator, they have unlocked something there, and whatever they're paying him is not nearly enough because the upside on these arms is outrageous. And it's I want to give you the names more so than ranking them because these next year, like as the season goes on, we're going to be changing the rankings of these arms almost start by start because that's how close they are. And they're all in the same level, so it'll be easy to compare with each other. It's a very impressive group of arms, and I can't remember a more loaded young pitching group than we've seen. And then Anthony Garcia is another guy I want to touch on. Giancarlo Stanton type frame, 6'8", jacked, or 6'6", jacked high school age guy, but he's an international guy. Monster raw power. So he's another flyer to take if you're going to dig deeper in this system. But it's a deep one for fantasy. In about 2 years from now, it's going to be absolutely loaded. But right now, it's a lot of wait and see. But it's an exciting system with Floreal at the top isn't as strong as you like, but they make up for it with their amazing depth.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What do you got going on, Matt?
Trying to survive this crazy cold that's coming in, man. Negative 54 with wind chill tomorrow night, being Wednesday. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, negative 54. So it I don't is, even know what you I don't even know what you do with that.
You don't go outside because I'm pretty sure that I'm reading an old Jack London book that spit freezes before it hits the ground at negative 40. It's currently I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's 9:30 in the morning, and it is currently 53 degrees.
So imagine 100 degrees colder than that.
Oh, that's just awful. Well, I wish you luck. I'm glad we're getting the last of these prospect minutes out of the way, so that way we still have the content.
If I'm dead, I'll
set up a GoFundMe account for your wife.
Perfect. I give you permission to – that'll be the biggest contribution I've ever provided her. but I give you permission to post the podcast if I don't live.
Well, I definitely will, because I think I'll get the best amount of listens we've ever gotten.
That might be true.
Right? Yeah. All right. Well, that'll wrap us up for this episode. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.